He is wonderful, isn't He? More than what we can understand. Definitely more than what we can describe. Let's go to the book of Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. What we're going to start looking at are the personal perfections of God. The personal perfections of God. I do want to clarify that there are no personal imperfections of God. Just have to put that out there, amen. But we're going to look at the attributes of God in the coming weeks. How many? I do not know. How many attributes of God are there? I don't know that either. Our minds cannot understand all those things, but we'll look at some of them. But let's look at Galatians 6, 7, chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. When you get there, if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. The Bible says in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You may be seated. Thank you. May the Lord bless the reading, the preaching, and the receiving, and the obeying of His Word. So as I mentioned, we're going to take some time to look at some of the personal perfections of God. You and I as Christians, we are to go on and to know who our God is. I'm afraid that most people get their knowledge of God from the back of t-shirts or bumper stickers on vehicles. Or little cliches that are said here and there or put on social media. People say, "Oh yeah, I like that," and they'll want to like and share something. Some of those things are who God is, but some of them are not. And so how do we know what is and what is not describing who our God is? We have to go on to know Him. And we go on to know Him not through feelings and emotions and experiences, that's not what we're talking about, but we go on to know Him through the Word of God. The Word of God tells us who our God is, and to the best of our abilities, we learn Him. Understand that in verse 7, the Bible tells us that God is not mocked. And that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. A few weeks ago, Brother Jeremy talked about the law, on something like the law of sowing and reaping. That is a law. That what you sow, you will reap. Amen. And we know from a simple illustration, when you plant a garden, if you put a kernel of corn in the garden and the sun comes up, it's not going to pop in the popcorn. What's it going to do? It's going to germinate. And it's going to die, and it's going to grow, and it's going to become what? A stalk. And then on that stalk, what's it going to produce? It's going to produce corn. You sowed corn, and you're going to reap corn. You sow a garden, and my dad and I talked about this, I think yesterday, the day before, maybe sometime during this week, about if the grass takes it over, then you don't get anything from it. You plant peas or beans, and you can't hardly get anything because the grass takes over if you don't take care of it. Again, you're sowing, but in that sowing, what do you have to do? You got to work in order to reap the harvest. And we'll see that in verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do what? Faint not." So the Christian life is not on cruise control. The Christian life is not somewhere where we just kick back and enjoy the ride, per se. It is the most thing ever. We can say that. But we also understand that our lives have conflict. Our lives have trials. So who do we turn to? What do? Well, you and I, as Christians, we are to be going on to know our Lord and Savior. So this morning, we're going to look at a lot of verses. And we're going to turn to most of them. Because I figure that you may want to underline these verses. If you notice, I wrote two words on the board that have not been here in a while. And we say these terms all through our teaching and preaching. Infinite and finite. And if I pronounce that one wrong, that's how I've always heard it pronounced. Okay, but infinite and finite. So what does that mean? And here in just a little bit we'll get there. But I will say this before we get there, that God is infinite and we are finite. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, look in verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And here's this last part. Notice this. And doing what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. We see a progression here. Looking around this building, I could say that most of us probably did not like school. Some of you may have really enjoyed it. I don't know. But most of us did not like going to school. Most of us did not like doing homework. My wife probably ever went to school. I'm not sure how she graduated. But she did. But homework. How many of us like doing homework? We didn't. Some of you may have really enjoyed it. Some of you are now doing your kids' homework. The point I'm making is that it's not always enjoyable to study, is it? For you not to grow in the knowledge of God, we got to give ourselves to the Word of God. We have to give ourselves to learning the Greek and the Hebrew. We have to give ourselves to do this. Listen, and our flesh says, no, I'm not going to do that. I got better things I can do than to study the Word of God. Did you just hear what I said? I've got other stuff that's more important that I need to do than to study the Word of God. Look, I just want to come in, I want to sit on the pew for a little while, and I want the preacher to tell me what I need to know. And if I like what he says, I'll say amen. If I don't like what he says, I won't say nothing. So you end up with your opinion against who? The pastor's opinion. When we should all be grounded in the Word of God. It's a sad place for the church to be when they say, I got better things to do than to learn who my God is. Who is our God? And that's what we're going to look at through these messages. Our love for God increases as we go on to know Him. Our knowledge of God increases, which means our love for Him increases, and our living to please Him increases. Look at verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Notice this, unto all pleasing. Pleasing who? Pleasing the Lord. Pleasing God. This word walk is our lifestyle. Also, being fruitful in what way? In the kingdom way, in kingdom minded. Doing things to further the kingdom of God, being fruitful in every good work. As we grow in our knowledge of God, we become more aware of sin in our lives. Again, we become more kingdom minded. And we should be increasing in the knowledge of God our whole life. A good example of this is a marriage. A marriage that is flourishing is one where the husband and wife are continually learning each other. The couple learns each other, they strive to meet each other's needs, their love for each other abounds, and love covers a multitude of sins, the Bible tells us, and others will see the fruits of this relationship. You and I learn each other. It's different with our relationship with God because we're always learning Him, but He's not learning us. He is all-knowing. God never learns anything. And Lord willing, we'll look at a good question to ask here is how can the finite, which means limited, how can we know the infinite, which means unlimited, if I can use that word there, that term. What I want to do this morning is let us look at the Westminster Shorter Catechism, how they answered this back in the 1600s. And we'll look at this question through an exposition of the Assembly's Shorter Catechism written by John Flavel. The word infinite signifies that which hath no bounds or limits, within which it is contained as all created things are. What do we have? Bounds. We have limits. God is infinite. In how many respects is God infinite? God is infinite or boundless in three respects. First, in respect of the perfection of His nature, His wisdom, power, and holiness. These exceed all measures and limits. Does this not stop? Is there a place where God gets to and God says, I don't know? No. See, for you and I, we can't even understand that, can we? Because we can immediately think about places where our knowledge stops with anything, especially with understanding who our God is. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, there is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Secondly, in respect of time and place, no time can measure God. God. Isaiah 57:15. Let's turn there. You may want to underline this in your Bible. Isaiah 57:15. Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one. Notice this, that what's he do? He inhabiteth eternity. Kind of makes me dizzy. Whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. He is high and lofty and inhabiteth eternity. Can we grasp how great God is? I've been able to watch some videos, some DVDs we have at the house. One in particular is called The Privileged Planet. And I don't think it was written from a Christian perspective. Not that I can tell, but it's a group of who say that the Big Bang is not even possible. There's no way that's even possible. For the earth to be in the position it's in is 1 in 100 million trillion. So that's impossible. It's amazing. And then to look at the vastness of this universe. And then the other solar systems. Listen, I'm not sure if y'all ever looked at this, but it's amazing to see the pictures. And to think about how big is our Earth. And if you were to make one little dot on the globe, that dot is way bigger than we are, isn't it? Earth is massive. Our solar system, I'm told from a scientist, is a small solar system. It's not one of the biggest ones out there. Nor is our star. Oh, this is amazing. How big is eternity? How's that? How long is eternity? When does it start? When does it stop? Well, it doesn't. Our God has always what? Been. He's always been. And here's something that we learn. He has always been glorious. He has always been holy. As I learned about these attributes of God, He's always been those things. We do not increase God, nor do we take away from God. 1 Kings 8:27, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built it? The heaven of heavens contains all created beings, but not the Creator. Thirdly, in respect of His incomprehensibleness, by the understanding of all creatures. Job chapter 11, verse 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Can you and I, can we, by searching, can we find out everything there is to know about our God? Let's go to the book of, we're in Isaiah, look in chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, and then we're going to go to Romans chapter 11, 33 through 36. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 11. Verse 33 of Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? In other words, as he asked Job, Job, where were you at when I created the earth and all that's therein? Basically, going to sum it up. Where are you at, Job? When I hung the stars, the belt on Orion. Job, where was you at? Answer me, Job. Guess what Job had to say? Put his hand over his mouth. Not there. No one told God, God, this is how I do it. Well, how arrogant are we? You know, the Pharisees actually believed that there was a Pharisee in heaven that would give counsel to God. Look at verse 35. Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. Who does God owe? God, you owe me. No. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Our God is in total control. If God be thus infinite, and no understanding can comprehend him, so how then is it said in 1 John 3:2 that we shall see him as he is? This is a question from the Westminster Confession of Faith. The meaning is not that glorified saints shall comprehend God in the understandings, but that they shall have a true apprehensive knowledge of God, and that we shall see him immediately, and not as we do now through a glass darkly. Understand this, that even in our glorified state, according to the Bible, we will not fully comprehend God. It's not possible. Not possible. And that's when we have a body that is not tainted by sin. A new and glorified body. That's when we will be in a place where there is no sin. Nothing to hinder our worship or our gaze, if I can even say, use that word there, upon the Lord. We have been learning some things on Wednesday night, especially this past Wednesday night, about how there are certain human characteristics that are given to God in the Scriptures. And these are given so that we would have a better understanding about God. Amen. God is helping us have a better understanding of Him. When the Bible says things like earth is God's footstool, or talks about His right hand, understand that, listen, God doesn't have feet. He's not like a man. He inhabited, that we just learned from the Scriptures, all of what? Eternity. He said that eternity is where inside God. Often, when we think of God, we think of a gray-headed old man at his throne directing things. That's not our God. Our God is not limited to a throne room. What's the first lesson to be learned from God's infinity? That therefore men should tremble. Listen, please. That therefore men should tremble to sin, even in secret. God is everywhere, all the time. He knows what we are going to say before we say it. He knows even the thoughts and the imaginations of our hearts, the Bible says. And because of this, men should tremble to sin even in secret. Listen to me. God knows what we are thinking. This should cause us to take every thought captive. If we really care, if we really want to know who our God is, if we believe what the Bible says about who our God is. All I can say is, Lord, help me. How wonderful is our God. Psalm 139:11 says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Doesn't matter where we are at, God sees, God knows. I've heard of other people talk about the gods that they serve, how once they get on the other side of a certain mountain, they can do what they want to do because their God can't see over that mountain. These are obviously false gods. Because our God is maker of heaven and what? Earth. As Jonah said, He is the God of the sea and the dry land. He is the God, the Bible says, that inhabiteth eternity. What is the second instruction from hence? The second instruction is that there is an infinite evil in sin, objectively considered, as it is committed against an infinite God. And therefore it deserves eternal punishment. And no satisfaction can possibly be made for it but by the blood of Christ. There is an infinite evil in sin, and that's why there is eternal punishment, because it is against an infinite God. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb slain without blemish and without spot. Thank God for His eternal plan. What is the third instruction from God's infinity? The third instruction is that those who are reconciled to God in Christ need not fear His ability to perform any mercy for them. Amen. He is our Heavenly Father. And we are His adopted children. For He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. How do we know this? Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That is our God. He is able. Is God able to work miracles? Yes. What is a miracle? A miracle is something that only God can do that cannot be explained by the medical professions or anybody else. Is God able to heal? Yes. Is God able to take a sinner who hates Him and redeem that sinner and adopt him into His family? Yes, only God can do that. We have great hope, those of us who belong to Him. But here's what's scary. It goes on and says this, and those that are not reconciled or in a very miserable condition, having infinite power set on work to punish them. Infinite power? Unlimited power set on work to punish them. I wish I could take all of you here this morning who were lost and beat this into your head. And beat this into your heart. That you understand that yes, though we're here in this life, and for some reason we have the mindset that we're never going to die. I listen to old war stories all the time on the veterans, and almost all of them said this: you're 19 years old, you're 18, you're 20 years old. You don't think you're going to die. Bullets flying around. Bombs going off. And yet you go and and you blow tanks up, you shoot other people. But surely that's not going to happen to me. And then, bam! Dead. There's coming a day when you will draw your last breath. There's coming a day when you will stand before holy God. Listen, who is infinite in His power. And the infinite evil in your sin will He punish for eternity. The infinite powerful one will cast you into a devil's hell to suffer forever. I know people mock this today, especially those who claim to be in higher education, colleges, self-made atheists. Listen, they can mock it all they want. It doesn't change who God is. God is infinite. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 says, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Thank God for Jesus Christ. What is the fourth instruction from God's infinity? That no place can bar the access of gracious souls to God. This ought to be good news for you and I. Whether we are in a dungeon or if we are at liberty, it's not going to keep God from us. Says, and that He knows their thoughts with their tongues, when their tongues cannot utter them. Just picture that. And listen, they're coming out of a time when this was written in the 1600s. They're coming out of a time where they were under severe persecution in England. They were being burned at the stakes. They were being strangled. They were being beheaded for the cause of Christ in England. This is after the Reformation had took place in Germany, Switzerland, and was spreading through around the world. There was many people who gave their lives for the sake of the gospel. Sometimes these people would be put in prison. Listen, their tongues would be cut out. Or they would be beat so bad that they couldn't. The point is making here, aren't you glad that God knows our thoughts? That's on a good hand, right? That God knows, Lord, you know I'm begging you, I'm praying to you. Lord, I love you. Though my words can't say it, my tongue is not able to speak. You know, have you ever seen someone on a deathbed? When their body starts shutting down? Gets to the point where they can't speak anymore. But they can look at you. And they know what you're saying, but their body won't let them speak. I don't understand that. I'm not a doctor, or scientist, but it's comforting to know that our God knows what we're thinking. On that hand, amen. Romans 8:35-39, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What can the finite, or what can the limited do to the unlimited, the infinite? All whom the Lord saves are eternally secure. There's nothing and no one that compares to the God of the Bible. Exodus 15:11. "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" This is the song of the Israelites as they crossed over the Red Sea, or through the Red Sea, as they were delivered from the Egyptians. Turn to the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Have you ever stopped and just meditated upon the first four words of the Bible? In the beginning, God. He is altogether glorious. I said it earlier, alone. In the beginning, there was only God. No angels. No worlds. No suns. No stars. Again, this goes beyond our comprehension, doesn't it? Because with us, there's a beginning and an ending. I can remember being in third grade and my teacher telling us that in 4 billion years, the sun was going to burn out. And I got scared. Well, why would you be concerned in 4 billion years? Because with my understanding was that I wasn't going to die. But now that I'm a Christian, I look forward to the day when the Lord calls me home. Or when He comes on back, catches us away. Either way. I'm glad I won't be alive on this earth in this simple body for 4 billion years. But why was I scared of that? I can remember not being able to sleep at night because I was scared the sun was going to burn out. Well, the sun's not going to burn out until the Lord rolls it like a scroll. And He is in total control. We have nothing to fear, do we? Those of us who are in Him. He who is infinite has never needed anything or anyone to make Him any more glorious. Nothing and no one adds to or takes away from who God is. He is glorious. Our God is. Psalm chapter 90, and I encourage y'all to read the whole psalm. But verse 2 says this, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He's been the same. He has not changed. Nor will He change. We find great comfort in that. He's not like us. He's not like man that He should change. The overwhelming desire of the Christian should be to know God as much as possible along this earth. Someone who does not desire to know God will not be living a life of sanctification. They will be sowing to the flesh and reaping thereof. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. It is paramount that the Christian continually grows in the Lord. We never stop. If you want to see a Christian who's not living as he or she should live, just look for someone who's not growing in the Lord. When we're not studying the Bible, when we're not praying, when we're not seeking first His kingdom, when we're not gathering together as a church. Listen, we'll find our, just be honest with yourself. Go back and look. We'll find ourselves not doing right. Because we're not growing on to know Him. A.W. Pink said this. This is a quote from A.W. Pink. Something more than a theoretical knowledge of God is needed by us. God is only truly known in the soul as we yield ourselves to Him, submit to His authority, and regulate all the details of our lives by His holy precepts and commandments. Which, of course, we know is the Word of God. How important is the Word of God in the Christian's life? Is of the utmost importance. How many of you really want to know more about God? Listen, He is good. To all of those whom He saves, He is good. He is gracious. He is merciful. He is loving. Listen, there's nothing that is, and no one who's more loving than our God is. The Bible says actually He is what? He is love. He didn't become love. He's always been love. We know that God is also wrathful. He's also has hatred towards sin and what? The sinner. And thank God for His mercies that they are new. About the Colossians 1:10, I'm going to read it again. It says this, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. It is my desire, as a Christian, as a husband, a father, and now a grandfather, and the pastor of this church, that I would grow in the knowledge of God. And that I would be able to teach you these truths from the Word of God so that we all may continue to grow together in the knowledge of our God. Not so I can get accolades or pats on the back. But that we would be better Christians. Better servants. And have a desire for Him more than anything else. Lord, help us with that. Let's pray.